Increasingly today, investors want to apply their faith to the way they invest their money. And a small but growing industry of faith-based investments is seeking to meet that desire. Still, many have questions. Hi, I'm Rob West. Today we're tackling some of the big questions about faith-based investing with someone who was once skeptical about the approach. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. So our guest today is Matt Rustin, Executive Director of Made to Flourish, a ministry dedicated to helping Christians live their faith 7 days a week, not just on Sunday. Once a skeptic, Matt is now an advocate for faith-based investing. Today we talk with Matt about his journey to faith-based investing, which he recently wrote about for the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. The Eventide Center for Faith and Investing is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management and an underwriter of MoneyWise. Matt, great to have you with us today.
Rob, thanks so much.
Absolutely. And Matt, you write for the Eventide Center, and you have a great article on their website titled, Why I Was Skeptical of Faith-Based Investing and What Changed My Mind. I'm excited to unpack this today. So perhaps we'll start at the beginning. Tell us why you were skeptical about this at first.
Yeah, I'm not sure when I first heard about faith-based investing, but I remember, I have this distinct memory of being in the conference room at my workplace a little over a decade ago, and our organization's investment advisor was visiting for the day, and they were talking through our different options for investing our retirement accounts. And yeah, you know, I'm looking at all these funds, and they were categorized in ways that we typically see of growth and aggressive growth and et cetera. Yeah. And I remember there was a section there that had faith-based funds. So my eyes were drawn to that immediately. And I started looking through the options. And of course, my eyes were drawn to the one-year returns and the three-year returns and the five-year returns. And even a quick overview, just scanning with my eyes, I was struck by the fact that all of the faith-based funds were greatly underperforming the other funds on the option list. So in that moment, I quickly reasoned that it was a good way to underperform, basically, if I would choose those options.
Well, obviously, that was something that jumped off the page at you, and it really became a stewardship issue for you, didn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, as Christ followers, we believe that our money is not our own, that we're stewards of God's money. And I just thought, gosh, if I'm making this money, I don't have a lot, but I'm investing it, I should be looking at options that have a better return over the long haul. And that was really compelling to me. At that same time, I was really learning a lot about low-cost index investing funds as well.
Sure.
And, you know, I had heard about this famous bet that Warren Buffett made with Ted Seides, who is this hedge fund manager. Of course, Warren Buffett was a big advocate of index fund investing because of their low fees. And they said, you know, let's just make a bet over the 10 years and see who outperforms this index fund that is low fee, you don't have to think about it much, or this hotshot investor with all his complicated tools with the hedge fund. And long story short, over that 10 years, the low-cost index fee just trounced this hedge fund. And it was vindication to me to say, look, I don't know a lot, but it seems like some of the smartest people that I know are taking these low-cost options. And for a lot of these faith-based funds, they had high fees. So yeah. There again, it was a stewardship issue. I didn't want to put my money in a high-cost option like that underperformed.
Okay, so there was underperformance, and then you're kind of watching this quote-unquote smart money work inside these passive investment options. But then there was another concern you had as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what this says about me. Maybe I'm a little bit skeptical in certain areas of my life. But I was looking at these products, and I couldn't tell how they were noticeably different from the other investments. And I wondered in that moment, are these funds just designed to make money off people with a weak conscience? Like, are they marketed to people who don't care about anything, but the fact that it has kind of a faith label, they would invest in that option? And that caused me to be skeptical.
Interesting. Well, we're going to unpack that. I want to know what you mean by a weak conscience, and then obviously hear the rest of the story, because, Matt, you've come full circle in believing this is absolutely the way to invest. We're talking today with Matt Rustin, executive director of Made to Flourish, former skeptic of faith-based investing, telling his story. More to come just around the corner. Stick around.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to men.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, an inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away.
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Their father helped them chase their dreams of becoming professional ball players. On the next Focus on the Family, twin brothers David and Jason Benham tell a fun, heartwarming story about their father's prayers and his support and spiritual guidance in their formative years. Find out how the game of baseball connected three generations in their family on the next Focus on the Family.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
The Centers for Disease Control said deaths from drug overdoses increased 15% last year. Some were accidental, but many overdoses were the result of loneliness and hopelessness. Their world was shaken, and they felt they had nowhere to turn. The Bible says our God wants to be an ever-present help in trouble, no matter what we face. When life seems overwhelming, reach out to God and don't listen to the devil's lies. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options in plain English? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit MoneyWise.org and click the link that says Find a CKA. That's MoneyWise.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Welcome back to MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Joining me today, Matt Rustin, Executive Director of Made to Flourish, a ministry dedicated to helping Christians live their faith 7 days a week. Matt is now an advocate of faith-based investing. He's a contributor to the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing, an underwriter of MoneyWise. And Matt, you were explaining just before the break some of the hang-ups you had as you began hearing about and looking into faith-based investments, some of them appearing to be underperforming. Forming, some having high fees, and then the last comment you made just before the break, perhaps that they were being marketed to those with a weak conscience. Tell us what you mean by that.
Yeah, I don't mean anything demeaning by that. I'm drawing on this phrase from the Bible from passages like Romans chapter 14, where Paul talks about those with a weak conscience. And in the context there, it's someone who's alarm bells are always ringing about things that they're worried about might offend God or not be in moral parameters. And he says with some of these issues, they're not actually wrong, but to disobey your conscience would be a bad thing. And as I looked at some of these products, I wondered if they were sort of marketed even unintentionally towards those with a weak conscience. So I wanted to respect people that had a conviction that they should invest in faith-based funds, but I thought that my freedom allowed me to have a broader menu of funds that I would invest in. So I don't know if that was arrogant, if that was too high-minded, but that's kind of the lens that I was looking at these options.
Okay. Well, there was one more piece to your concern about moving toward faith-based investments, and that really had to do with the theological side of this too, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right. We live in a messy world, and all sorts of companies have good parts about them. They have bad parts about them. And really, you know, as Christ followers, as Christians, we read our Bibles and we see this doctrine of the fall. And we realize that the fall of humankind has touched every institution, every person. And we're going to expect that every company is going to have signs of brokenness and sin. So rather than developing kind of a sophisticated boycott mentality where we're constantly trying to say, I'm not going to invest in that company, or I'm not going to invest in that company, we realize that participation in a fallen world means that at times we're going to have to make compromises that wouldn't be our ideal. So that was just the first point, is just, you know, the reality of the fall. But then second, I started looking at certain companies, and it seemed like certain companies were just better at hiding and concealing the harm that they did to those around them or to the environment or to the world. You know, you think about something as devastating as the opioid epidemic that we've seen in our country. And there's pharmaceutical companies that make those drugs, and they serve a real purpose. They relieve pain, but they've also caused a lot of destruction. And there was a certain kind of view that I had just to say, you know what, participation in the world will be messy at times. You think about Jesus, who told his disciples to pay their taxes, even though that tax money was going to an evil government at the time. Or you think about Paul saying he wasn't tripped up by eating meat sacrificed to idols. Arguably, when you're doing that, you're paying for meat that will go to fund the idolatry industry. So we even have these scriptural examples of Jesus and the Apostle Paul, just to say this is life in a fallen world. It's not the ideal. Yeah. Can't get too tripped up by every single company in our investment portfolio.
Now, if we take everything you've said to this point, it's certainly a compelling argument against faith-based investing. But Matt, something completely changed your mind to where you're now a huge supporter. So tell us what happened.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact date. It probably wasn't like a particular moment of conversion. Was it Ernest Hemingway? He was talking about bankruptcy, and he said that sometimes it happens gradually, then suddenly. And I feel like that's sort of what happened to me. I was gradually beginning to change my mind, and then it seems like suddenly I kind of made a leap. You know, because a lot of my key concerns, I felt like, were being addressed in a compelling way.
Sure. Well, you had three areas of concern that you laid out for us very well, and you had some realizations around each of them. So begin with the first one.
Yeah, so you remember that I talked about just underperformance. You know, our faith-based funds underperforming. And you know, the short of it is there's been just a slew of studies, and I'm not going to reference them all here, but if you Google it, there's a lot of studies on how faith-based investing funds and a lot of actively managed funds have really closed the gap in the last decade. There's been a lot of innovation. There's been a lot of improvement. I reference, in the article, there's a New York Times article, and basically the summary just said that investing according to theological beliefs are as profitable as investing without a religious screen, and they're no more risky.
Okay, so much for faith-based funds underperforming. That's a myth, clearly. What was your second revelation?
Well, on the issue of faith-based or values-based funds packaged for those with a weak conscience, you remember I brought that up from Romans 14.
I came
to this conviction that investing is ownership. Mm. I'm not just merely spreading my money out in the broad market generally. I'm having ownership stakes in particular companies, even if that's within a mutual fund. And for two reasons, that magnified my sense of moral responsibility. First, if I'm owning shares in a company, I'm helping that company succeed. I'm supplying capital. But secondly, and maybe even more importantly, I am profiting from the company's business activities. I'm a partner in their business model. And as my conscience became more informed, I realized that, gosh, I'm going to have to obey now my conscience that has more information. And as I was looking closer at the companies that I owned in these mutual funds, you know, was I actually happy helping them and benefiting from them financially? And I have to say that, you know, in some cases, my conscience was distressed by some of the companies that I was owning.
And that's a big idea. Now to the third realization that changed your mind.
Yeah, I guess finally, you know, you think about the moral ambiguity of companies, and you know, we live in a messy world. And while I continue to believe that companies couldn't avoid the implication of Adam and Eve's fall, I realize that certain companies do align better with God's love your neighbor command, while others seem to be doing the opposite. And I also came across fund investment companies that actually were doing a pretty good job of looking at ways that companies treat various stakeholders, their customers, their employees, their suppliers. And I just came to believe that some companies really do intentionally create positive products and services and are making the world better. And if I could find fund companies, investment companies that thought about that well, that had good screens and evaluated that well, I wanted to partner with them to choose companies that I was proud to own.
Matt, that was really helpful. A clear articulation of how you've come full circle. Now, I want to finish today by giving you a chance to talk about your ministry, Made to Flourish, and why you decided to write for the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing.
Yeah, Made to Flourish is a national network of people who are trying to figure out how to connect Sunday to Monday, our faith and how it relates to how we spend most of our time at work. We'd love to have you come check us out and learn about our resources and tools. You can do that by going to madetoflourish.org. And we'd love to partner with you with resources. And it's been a great partnership. Our values and mission align really well with the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing.
That's great. Well, Matt, great to have you with us today.
Great to be with you, too.
Matt Rustin's been our guest today. He's executive director of Made to Flourish. And you can read this article, Why I Was Skeptical of Faith-Based Investing and What Changed My Mind, at faithandinvesting.com/moneywise. More to come just around the corner. Stick around.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at moneywise.org.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. As we turn the corner from faith-based investing, we'd love to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. Our team is standing by. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. By the way, if you want to learn more on faith-based investing, perhaps what Matt was talking about today is a brand new idea for you that you'd like to develop a conviction around as it relates to your own investments, aligning with your values and priorities. You can learn more on our website, moneywise.org, where you can read some great articles, check out some of the great faith-based fund families there to learn more on their sites. And as Matt mentioned, he was writing for the Center for Faith and Investing from Eventide, and you can learn more at faithandinvesting.com. Great resources for you to begin to explore this topic, because as Matt said, it really is a new day in terms of being able to invest in world-class investments that align with your values and priorities, eliminating companies misaligned, embracing other companies that are making a positive impact in the world, even a kingdom impact in some cases, and doing it while knowing that as an owner of investments and as an owner of a particular company, that you're not supporting something that you don't believe in. So you can check out more, again, moneywise.org or faithandinvesting.org. And by the way, if you have a question on that or anything else, we'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let's begin today with an email that came in recently. We do receive emails at questions@moneywise.org. And by the way, we have coaches on our team that are just a part of our ministry. These are men and women who are trained to be stewardship coaches. They volunteer their time to answer your questions, do one-on-one virtual meetings, help you get set up on a budget or a spending plan, and really just help you answer questions from a biblical perspective. They are passionate about what they do and delighted to be involved in the ministry. So whether you post a question in our MoneyWise community, which you can access at moneywise.org. Just click on the community tab or in the MoneyWise app that you can download from your app store at, when you search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. When you post a question, you will get a response from one of our coaches. Now, we'll try to answer several of them on the air, but if we don't get to it, know that you will get a personal response. So you can access our MoneyWise community or just send us an email, questions@moneywise.org. This one came in from Regina. Here's what she writes. Rob, my daughter was advised by her boyfriend that to establish credit and raise her score, she needs to get a few credit cards and even a personal loan. Now, they want me to add her as an authorized user on my credit card because they say it will help speed up raising her credit score. Sounds like they have a plan. How does this sound to you? I don't know that it sounds right to me. Well, Regina, I think it's partially correct. Let me comment on both ideas that your daughter and her boyfriend shared with you. First of all, adding your daughter as an authorized user on your credit card is an effective strategy with a few cautions. A lot of folks will do this because when it's when your daughter is added, your on-time payments will be credited to her credit report, which begins to establish credit for her, shows her to be an on-time payer, and so she inherits that good credit. Now, a couple of cautions. In the same way she inherits your good credit history, If you happen to make a late payment, she will inherit that negative history as well, which could actually work against her. So there is a risk there in the sense that even if you don't give her a card and she doesn't even know the number, so she's not able to use it, and you're simply doing this to establish credit, you need to be aware that both the positive and negative payment history will be reported to her report. So just be aware of that, and that alone may be a reason you want to pass. All right, secondly, getting several credit cards isn't the best way to establish credit because of the temptation to use them and run up balances. Here's my concern. You know, if she's just starting out in her financial life, she hasn't demonstrated herself to be someone who can live on a budget, live within her means, live well below her means so she has margin, then putting a credit card in her hands may be the worst thing that you want to encourage her to do or that she wants to do. I also certainly wouldn't co-sign for her in any way. So a better way to go about this, because I can understand her desire to establish credit for a variety of reasons, whether that's to rent an apartment or get a car loan at some point, or even, you know, secure a job, which credit scores are used as a part of the decision-making process now in many cases, she can get what's called a secured credit card. This may be a new idea for you, so let me explain what this is. It's different from a prepaid card where you just kind of load it up and then you use it till it's gone. With a secured card, you actually deposit a sum of money, usually $300 to $500, into an account with the provider, most often your bank. You're then able to charge up to that amount, but you only want to make sure that you're using it for budgeted items, and then you pay off the balance completely each time. When you charge against it, they don't actually debit the amount on deposit unless you don't make your payment. So if you charge up to what's on deposit, and then you pay it by the end of the cycle, you pay it off or you pay it down. I would pay it off. That amount you have on deposit is never accessed. It's only there as security if you default on what is owed. But if you don't, then it can work very, very well. And it will ensure she doesn't go into debt because her limit will only be equal to what she has on deposit. Now, again, going back to this item, this idea of one budgeted item, I think the idea, if it's really just about establishing credit, is let's say there's a recurring, very small, could be less than $10 charge that she plans for every month. That automatically hits the credit card. Then at that point, that would be reported that she has activity every month. She would then be reported as an on-time payer. And that, over time, will affect her credit because that will be likely reported to the three credit bureaus and raise her score. And eventually, if she can demonstrate herself to be a responsible user of a credit card and wants to use it for convenience purposes, that would be great. With a prepaid card, there will be nothing reported to the bureau, so that won't help her at all. I hope that helps you. We appreciate your email, Regina. We'll be back with much more on MoneyWise, 800-525-7000. Give us a call.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Poll puts Trump down 14 points to Biden in general election showdown. Guess who did the survey? It's CNN. We're supposed to believe this, and we look at the end of it, and it says that the CNN poll was conducted between June 2nd to the 5th with 1,259 people nationwide questioned by live telephone. Really? Okay. I do not trust these polls. Just don't trust them.
Sandy Rios in the morning. Weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Glad to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We've got some phone lines open. We'd love to hear from you. Our team is standing by. What's on your mind today? 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Whether it's your spending plan, paying down debt, saving for the future, what about investing in these challenging times? Markets started off positive today. We thought we might see a little bit of a bounce after an incredibly difficult week with sharp losses on Wall Street. But no, it's turned negative again, down 225 points on the Dow Jones, 24 in the S&P, off a little over a half of 1%. Certainly been a volatile market as we think about a recession, as we watch inflation, which is on fire right now. Obviously, the Fed coming out with strong action this week, and Chairman Powell vowing that the Fed is acutely focused on bringing down inflation. Early in the week, the market seemed to think that the Fed might be responding well, and glad to have the 75 basis points. But following that, it's been all about inflation and the prospect of a slowing economy. We'll continue to watch that and talk about the effects for you, your investments, and for your spending plan, as you're now spending on average $5,000 more per year with the increased costs of fuel and food and so many other things affected by high inflation right now. A time to be focused on how we can be salt and light and manage God's money well in the midst of challenging times. This is the opportunity, I think, for the body of Christ to shine as we know where our hope and trust lies, but also to be found faithful as we're managers of God's money. 800-525-7000 with any financial questions today, we'd love to hear from you. You know, my friend and mentor, Ron Blue, the author and teacher, says that money is three things. He says money is a tool, money is a test, and money is a testimony. Now think about that. Money's a tool. How is it a tool? Well, it's a tool to accomplish God's purposes. You know, when we think about money being entrusted to us, if God is the owner, and He is, and we're the managers, and we are, then money becomes a tool to accomplish His purposes. It's a means to an end, not an end, even though our culture says it is the aim, it is the objective for security and significance. We know that's not true. Our security lies in the Lord Himself. He is the one who bestows upon us our significance and our identity. Money is simply a tool to accomplish His purposes. So money's a tool. Money's also a test. How is it a test? Well, just look at the Council of Scripture and you'll see that we cannot serve both God and money. If something is going to dethrone God for first position in our lives, in my experience, it's most often going to be money. Why in the Bible was money put alongside choosing something other than God if it wasn't one of the primary competitors? And I believe it is. So money is a test in the sense that it's a test for our allegiance. Where are we ultimately going to place our trust? What do we value? What story does how we spend our money tell about what's most important to us? And here's what the late Larry Burkett used to say. He would often say that the way we handle money is the clearest indicator into what's going on in our lives spiritually. Why is that? Well, because again, give me your check register, whether it's online or if anybody uses a paper check register anymore, and I'll tell you what's important to you, because it's how we vote with our dollars literally every day. And so it really is a significant indicator of what we value. And if we're not happy with the story our use of money is telling, perhaps it's time to take a hard look at it and make a change. And ultimately, that's between you and the Lord. So money is a tool, money is a test, but it's also a testimony. How is that? Well, think about this. It's a testimony to the world in several ways. Number one, it's a testimony in the sense that we're able to live without fear, even in the midst of challenging times, because we know ultimately who our provider is. It's a testimony as we approach dealing with these challenging times and to be salt and light to the world. It's a testimony as we give. It's a testimony that we can use to say, I want to be a part of God's activity. I want to be able to bless somebody on my path that is in need right now. I want to participate in God's activity to the ends of the earth. And that is obviously a great opportunity for us that we need to be thinking about and taking advantage of. So money's a tool, money's a test, and money is a testimony. You think about that, meditate on that, and pray about that as you move forward from here. All right. I think we were having some challenges with our phone lines. I'm told that there are callers there, even though I can't see them. So we'll head to Marcy in Illinois. Marcy, you're on MoneyWise. Go right ahead.
Okay. Thanks. I have a question about our MD, the required minimum distribution. And so in a little bit over a week, I'm going to be the 72 mark. And that's when we have to start withdrawing that.
Yes,
I've not really had any education on that, but I talked with people with Fidelity. I am with them, have been because of different occupations, et cetera, for 401ks, and I have a personal a plan also there. And but the strategy has to be to take from the 401k is what I'm understanding. And so I talked with them, and I told them, you know, I did not want some of my high-value stocks to be taken out, et cetera. And I thought I had that across because, number one, I have had two losses this year. And one of the greatest losses has been Dan Celia. And he helped me when my I got inherited the farm from my parents after they died. And, you know, making sure that I was a good steward of that money, because so much of the time that doesn't get done correctly. And I sure didn't know how to do it. Yes. I'm in medicine, not in finances. But so when I talk with this person now, because I'm taking from the 401k, so they weren't set up to do it. But what they did here the first two times, they're selling all my big stocks, things I don't want to sell.
Yes.
And then they got rid of almost all my cash, too. So I've got about 14% and 15% in two different type of cash things, which those are there right now because I put money in and I'm going to go back and buy some more stocks. I wanted to get the tax break for my income tax this year for the $6,000. How do you, should you get in there and clean out some of those other stocks that you've got that really aren't such great stocks and get rid of those first? I hate to sell them. You know, I've got three Timothy plans that they're selling off here. and I have about five different types of Timothy plans, which they're all good.
Yes.
As far as that goes, and they're according to the allocation, the Timothy asset allocation for ages 65 and up, that is on the Financial Institute website.
Very good. Well, obviously, because the tax considerations really aren't a factor here in terms of, you know, if it was a taxable account, we would be thinking about what you want to sell to generate, you know, due to some tax loss harvesting and that type of thing. But in this tax-deferred environment, it's really not a factor. And so the question is just, if you obviously have a cash portion and you have to take an RMD now that you're 72, then you could very easily pull it out of the cash portion. If there's not enough in cash to be able to satisfy the required minimum, then, of course, the other opportunity would be to liquidate some investments. And that's where I think you and the advisor, depending upon whether you've delegated that responsibility or whether you all kind of approach handling this together, would determine which of the investments that you want to liquidate at this point based on the ones you're comfortable no longer holding. And that would be the other way to raise cash, of course. And then the third option is to do what's called a required minimum distribution through a qualified charitable distribution, which is where you actually make a gift to a charity or ministry to satisfy the RMD, but you don't generate the tax because it's not added to your adjustable gross income. I've got to hit a break, but you stay on the line and we'll talk a bit more just after this. Stay with us.
Are you in need of hope, encouragement, and the love of God? I'm Pastor Salem. I'd like to invite you to join us for the Christian Worship Hour. For decades, I've been teaching the Word of God so that people everywhere can experience the love and power of a personal relationship with our Lord. Tune into this station this weekend and prepare to be blessed and encouraged by another life-changing message.
Learn more about our program at ChristianWorshipHour.com.
This is Jan Markell, and next on Understanding the Times Radio, I talk to two guests who look at issues within the church. Why are most pulpits avoiding important topics that every Christian needs to know? And what about the new survey that says many pastors don't even have a biblical worldview? We'll analyze this next on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday afternoon at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit MoneyWise.org/connect. That's MoneyWise.org/connect.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Just before the break, we were talking to Marcy in Illinois. Marcy is needing to take a required minimum distribution from her 401k for the first time. She and her advisor have been talking about, and they've been making moves to move out of certain investments. Marcy, it sounds like you have some real high-quality investments. I love that you have some of the Timothy Fund investments. And before the break, I was sharing, although you could just take this out directly, that would generate a taxable event. Obviously, as you satisfy that RMD, the government is looking to collect taxes on that. One way around that is through a QCD, a qualified charitable distribution, which would allow you to do some giving directly from your account, satisfy that RMD, but the ministry gets the full benefit of 100% of it, and you don't pay any tax. So it's not added to your adjusted gross income for the year, which sounds like that may be a win-win, right?
Yes, it does. You know, when I first started listening to a financial program on the radio, I think God led me there. because I've always been a hard worker. I'm a farmer's daughter. I was taught how to work hard. That's what my daddy did, and that's how he paid for my schooling, et cetera. But I wasn't thinking about what things are good for the kingdom and what things are not. Yes. And, you know, the more that I follow Christ as I grow older and older, and then come, you know, I get fed things and I'm learning more. I want to make sure that things count. And so I have a church and also a mission fund that I would love to give to. And this is a great way, as you were pointing out, the advantages of going with that and to do it at first. So that way, if things crash at the end of the year, I still paid to God what he needs.
Well, I love that.
I want to do that.
It's a very effective way, and you can actually give, not saying you need to do this, but you can give up to $100,000 per year in a qualified charitable distribution. So it's a great way to be able to give to the Lord and satisfy that government-required minimum distribution. So what you would do is you would just contact your advisor, let them know that you want to do a QCD, and they will get you the paperwork. You'll put on there the ministry or charity that you want to give it to. It will happen, you know, sent directly to them. You'll need to alert the ministry or your advisor will that it's coming, and then you'll have all that documentation to be able to provide to your tax preparer at the end of the year. I appreciate you calling in today, Marcy. God bless you, and we will hope to talk to you again real soon. Let's head to Texas. Raquel, thank you for your patience. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I had joined a 401k retirement plan through my job for the very first time.
Yeah.
I'm 51 years old, and with the way the economy is and inflation is right now, I got kind of scared doing that investment. But I figured, you know, I have to invest in myself, especially at my age, so I was willing to take the risk. They do a 3% right off the top, and I was advised through Transamerica's, who I'm going through, the company's going through, to go ahead and put 4% in, which would be 7%. And she said it goes into mutual funds, an aggressive stock, and not so aggressive stock. With the stock market being the way it is, I got kind of worried with it being an aggressive stock, but I'm figuring the stocks are so low right now, I should just leave it alone and just stay where it's at. And it's going to take a little bit more money out of my paycheck, every paycheck that I get, but I'm willing to make that sacrifice for long term, so I'm not just living off of Social Security when I get older. So yes. I'm trying to make sure I'm doing the right thing because I'm kind of new to all of this.
Yeah. Well, I can understand how you'd be a little concerned just kind of being new to investing and really wanting to be wise about putting money away. And you're doing it right here at a time where there's incredible volatility. And now all of a sudden here, the market's down in a bear market, 20% down from recent highs. And so I can understand your concern. I think you're doing the right thing, Raquel. What did you say your age was, if you don't mind me asking?
51.
51. All right. So you, so you've got time on your side. I mean, let's say you were to work to 65, and you may or may not, but you know, you've got 15 years, and then once you reach that point, you still have, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, a decades long need for this money. You know, if we want to say, well, what does it look like for it to last to age 95? Well, you still need to have a growth component to it, even in throughout the economic cycles and market gyrations, because that's how we overcome inflation. That's how we get the return up. You know, even if we're really conservative in retirement, we might still have a 25 or 30% allocation to stock. So I think you're doing the right thing in terms of, let's stay focused on just being what's called a dollar cost averaging investor. So dollar cost averaging just means that you're systematic in your contributions, which is what happens through salary deferral with this 7% of every paycheck going in, you're systematic to buy in at all points of the market. So as the market falls, you're buying in with the same amount of money, but guess what? You're buying more shares of those same mutual funds. And when the market recovers, you'll benefit from that. You know, nobody wants to buy at the top all the time. So I think if you just stay the course here, continue to be disciplined, recognize that this is a volatile time, monitor your anxiety, and you know, make sure that you don't get too concerned about what's happening here, because you know that you're diversified and you're long term in your perspective, then I think you can just stay the course.
Okay. Awesome. And I have a loan. I had bought some furniture when I got my own place after a divorce. And I've got it paid down to where if I do an early buyout, I think it's like $300-something compared to $500. With the interest rates going up, I do have the money to pay it off now. Should I go ahead and do that?
I would. Yeah, I'd get that knocked out so you don't have that kick in. And, you know, they may even prorate that and go all the way back to the beginning if you don't have it paid off by a certain time. So I'd just take care of it, be done with it. As long as you still have some margin left over, I'd love for you to have somewhere, you know, around at least 1 to 3 months worth of expenses in your emergency fund. And then perhaps you build that back up to 3 to 6 months expenses. But as long as you're not depleting all of your liquid reserves, I'd go ahead and knock it out. Okay.
Okay. Because that's the only debt I have. So besides that, with the money I do have left over from my paycheck and after paying bills, my needs are taken care of. So I want to invest in the 401k plan and pay that off. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. That does take anxiety off of me.
I'm glad to hear it, Raquel. God bless you. And thank you for calling today. To Oklahoma we go. Dallas, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes. I'm 74. I live on my Social Security. I have liquidated, or not really liquidated, but I tried to settle all my affairs. I sold some property, settle some inheritances. What I need to know, I was listening to Dan Celia to tell us when to invest monies. I have the money left over in a money market account, and everything that I own is in a trust now, a family trust.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
I don't know when to tell my broker to invest that with the market like it is now so that it will earn something.
Yeah. And everything right now, Dallas, is in cash or money market?
Dallas? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So everything, I'm just trying to determine, is everything on the sideline currently, both the liquid account you have plus the trust assets?
Yes.
Okay, very good. You know, I think in terms of the timing on this, I mean, we never want to try to pick the top or the bottom. It's just kind of a losing proposition. So I think we need to be more prudent in our investment strategy to say, what is our ultimate target in terms of what do we want to have allocated towards stocks and bonds and any other asset classes, if you want an allocation of gold or whatever that might be. So let's determine where we're ultimately going in terms of how much we're going to have invested and in what asset classes. So that's kind of a rules-based approach. And then we say, okay, over what time period do we want to execute that plan? And I think, you know, right now we just tipped into a bear market. So we're down 20% from recent highs. Market's selling off again today. Who knows where it's going to go next week or next month? Prospect of a recession later this year, pretty good as we head into 2023. But the market's going to be a leading indicator of that. So we'll likely see a bottom on the market before, certainly before we get to the end of the recession, perhaps even before we even really see the two consecutive quarter of negative GDP reading. So I think perhaps the best approach might be to say, what if over a 6 month period from now, you and your advisor begin moving into what your ultimate investment strategy is going to be, however conservative you might want that to be based on your age, goals, and objectives, but start on a disciplined basis, maybe every 30 days to begin to deploy this money. So you're not going all in on a single day. And 6 months from now, the market could be higher than it is today. Likely it'll be lower, but it certainly could be higher. But the idea is that you're disciplined and systematic in deploying your strategy. Does that make sense?
Yes. I don't need the money to live on, and like all my property has been placed in that trust fund.
Sure.
And my aim is to grow that for my kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, the good news is that the market works and the economy works in cycles, and we're in a downward cycle right now. We probably will be for some time. The average recession lasts 22 months, and we could see downward pressure of 35%. plus percent on the market, but we're already 20% down. So I think this is a good time to begin to move into the market, but I'd do it over a period of time, perhaps 6 months. So I think you're in a great place here, Dallas. The Lord has provided for you. Your bills are covered, and this is money that you can look long term and be thinking about growing as an inheritance, or if you want to do some giving on it or whatever you may need it for down the road. We appreciate your call today. God bless you. Folks, that's going to do it for us. Let me say thank you to my team, Mr. Devin Patrick, serving as our producer today, Pat Montague, our amazing call screener, Mr. Jim Henry, providing great research to me as well. We're grateful to be a part of the American Family Radio family now as we round out week number two of our new show, MoneyWise, on American Family Radio. I hope you have a great week, and come back and join us again on Monday. I'll be here. And in the meantime, may the Lord bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.